listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron. Wayne can't be with us today, but he might be with us next week. But we have a special guest this week. It's been quite a while since our special guest has been with us. And folks, this show today is really going to the sub-community that's on Facebook, the First Step Act Early Release from Federal Prison Group. We have a lot of people that look to us as role models in the coaching and consulting space on these federal issues. And so we are really excited to have Jose Santana with us today, folks. Jose.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate you having me. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to share what we know and the latest and greatest.
Exactly. So let's kind of refresh our viewers and listeners. Back in 2018, Donald Trump came up or enacted the First Step Act, which was a great act that set forth in motion several things that will assist inmates either get out of prison early or certainly serve more of their sentence. So, and we're going to talk about some of those particulars. When COVID hit, it was people were scrambling. People are scrambling now, but for a different reason. But now some time has passed. Several months ago, Jose was on here and we talked about the Attorney General's memo, and we talked about folks being able to, after serving half of their sentence, if it's one way, or a quarter of their sentence, if they're elderly or super short. Anyway, so we talked about the CARES Act. So now what we want to do is give all of our listeners and viewers an update on those policies and kind of talk about what's going on in the federal system as it relates to that. So, Jose, if you want to go ahead and start.
No, you're right on point, Bruce.
And all right.
We're talking about the First Step Act of 2018, signed in December 18, 2018, by then President Donald Trump. And I'm going to clarify right off the bat, Bruce, that the First Step Act and the CARES Act are two different events. Loved ones of inmates that we're providing services to are asking us questions and tend to mix and fuse these two things. There's two separate events, two separate criteria for it, even though the purpose is the same thing of giving the inmate and providing the inmate pre-release custody to a RRC, traditionally known as Halfway House, Release Reentry Center, RRC, or confinement. Or in the event of the First Step Act, under Earned Time Credits, early supervised release, not 2X12, which was enacted in March 2020 by then Attorney General William Barr, provides different criteria. And that's where the criteria applies to the pandemic. The issues with the COVID-19 procedures, the CDC guidelines, and all that. So we're going to talk about these two things separately. And sometimes they do have the same purpose of releasing an inmate early, like we said, to halfway house supervision or home confinement. So I'm going to give you some important dates that we need to remember.
Yes.
So January 2020 was when the BOP posted and started the full list of approved programs on the institutions, the evidence-based recidivism programs or the productivity. January 15, 2020 was when the BOP completed the initial risk and needs assessment for each prisoner and began to assign programming, okay? And February 15 of this year, 2022, BOP had to provide evidence-based recidivism programming, reduction programs, or productive activities for all inmates, okay? Now, this year, in January of this year, came out the rules language. And that's what the rules language is implementing, what it became to know, be known as the First Step Act Earned Time Credits. And again, I want to clarify the issue. The First Step Act Earned Time Credit do not shorten Mason's individual in prison. It's going to still remain that statutory release date that it's in, even in the computation, which is called the PRD, the projected release date of good conduct time or full term release or whatever that might be. Okay, so I want to clarify that, because a person that's given and applied and adjusted a computation based on First Step Act Earned Time Credits, FSA ETCs, that good conduct time is not shortened for anything. They were released early, like I said, to pre-release custody, be in RRC or halfway house or home confinement for that purpose, or early supervision. Okay?
Correct. So if an inmate gets sentenced and they report to prison, and within 30 days they get a computation sheet, they do their initial team, and their release includes the good conduct time. Now, back in the day, before the passage of the First Step Act, it averaged out to be about 47 days. But now, after the passage of the of this act, inmates get a full 54 days per calendar year. And so that date, that's the good conduct time. That's the GCT, Golf Charlie Tango, good conduct time release, GCT. Very, very important distinction, because this GCT date will remain. Okay. And I know Jose is going to explain this. Somebody might get earned time credits, right? And they may be on home confinement months or a year or so or plus from their GCT date, but they're serving their sentence at home or on home confinement. But I'll let Jose clarify that.
So really promptly, as the rules language came out, and this has been going on since for over now a year or so, trying to pass it through Congress, being enacted, published in the Federal Register. It went to comments, it went to everything until it was finally published in the Federal Register and the rules language came out. So it's been on the works, you know, negotiating policies with the union and everything else. I think it came out on an expedited press release. I mean,
right.
Getting it passed through the scrutiny and the public's responses that have been incorporated in some of these things on the earned time credit applications has been pretty fast, I would say, for government bureaucracy.
Yes, absolutely.
So keeping on with the dates. So the First Step Act earned time credits, it goes back to retroactively to the date. So it goes back to anybody who was in prison by December 18 of 2018 will get retroactive application of earned time credits on their computation for the purpose of early release or halfway house or whatnot. No. So they don't have to do anything. Just because they were in prison, the Bureau is going to grant
some time
credits. They're going to adjust the comp based on the fact that they were in prison, because to no fault of their own, they weren't programming because of whatever reason, or they did have some programs which they're applying to differently throughout the whole spectrum of the BOP institutions. So it's different things there's different variances. So we get the questions all the time from attorneys, from inmate families, from inmates. You know, this guy came before me and after me, and he's got all this credits, and each case is different. Each case.
Right.
Don't compare cases, because we got to take the case on the merits.
Here's a question from one of our listeners here that I'm reading, who's reporting to an RR East Coast. They're asking, can I get more than a year? Can I get more than a year on my ETC credit? Yeah, accredited to me to go to home confinement.
So this individual is still not in prison, so he's not programming. So he doesn't have any ETC until he starts programming. And then we'll get into what ration is a day for programming, what's the purpose of a day for earned time credit and all that. But granted, here, Yes, you could get more than a year for police house or for home confinement.
Is there a cap, or it just depends on the case?
The cap is 15 days maximum per every 30 days of programming or productive activity. That's the cap. And that's not automatic, because for that purpose, you have to have the Bureau will grant you 10 days for 30 for every 30 days of productive evidence-based recidivism reduction programs or productive activities. For every 30 days of that, you'll get 10. Then the other additional fives will be applied when the individual, when the inmate completes two consecutive assessments, pattern risk assessment.
Rating periods? Yeah.
In low or minimum.
And how long, how many months is two consecutive rating periods?
Well, it's for a state of the inmate. For a release date of more than a year, it'll be every 6 months.
If they
as a release date of less than a year, so it'll be every 3 months. So
That's good to know.
So that's the cutoff. But exactly the point is that a lot of individuals are saying, but I didn't have no programming because of the pandemic. So because of no fault of their own, they didn't have programs because the institution was on lockdown because of the pandemic or modified operations, or there was simply no activities going on or no programming because the staff weren't there, or the staff were doing something else, or the staff were augmenting on post, or the staff were sick because of the COVID. So the Bureau is granting those 10 days retroactively to December 18 of 2018.
What if they were in a camp? It came 15 days
consecutive. You would assume that anybody in a camp would have no greater than a low pattern.
Right.
But there are some exceptions out there for whatever reason they might be. Or the individual is a minimum and committed an incident report and still at the camp, or came back to the camp, or is at the low with a low. So there's different variances that affect that. Because if you get an incident report, then for that period, you won't have you'll be on the penalty box, like they call it.
Oh, we've seen those guys with the cell phone capers in camps get sent off to county jail while they investigate the situation. And let's say the one guy's innocent and he comes back, but he's lost some time there, right?
Yeah, he's going to have to wait until the next review.
Right, exactly.
The next pattern is risk assessment. Okay, so yeah. Application is retroactively until December 18th of 2018. The Bureau is looking at trying to implement it much more retroactively than that. For goodness sake, if for the inmate's sake that have been serving a longer sentence
right
to December 18, individuals that have been graduating down, like I call it, from a medium to a low, from a low to a minimum, or from a high security penitentiary to a medium, from a medium to a low to a minimum. So those are some cases out there that inmates have done that and are actually keeping a clean record and programming. So for those individuals that fall in that category, it hasn't been seen. It's on a case by case, but the Bureau is trying to apply those earned time credits to those cases also. They're trying, we'll talk to our as much as flexible as they can on applying these. It's slow, very slow. They're working with the individuals that are immediate releases, that are in home confinement or halfway houses already. A lot of individuals that are still in the institutions that result in immediate releases. So eventually they'll keep on moving forward to the cases of 2023, end of 2023, 2024, and so on and so on.
So I'm so glad you bring that up. A lot of what we've been able to do with some of our clients is help expedite some of those things for the clients that are already out on home confinement. They're already on home confinement with a 2022 or a 2023 release date, and they're waiting to get those earned time credits applied, because if they're applied and they can get that ankle monitor taken off, then they can start supervision. Now, we get a lot, we're getting a lot of phone calls with people with a 24, 25, 26 and beyond, and they're still in an institution. Well, what we're telling these folks is, hey, look, they're still in an institution. if they've done 50% of their time, you know, look, you know, then see if the caseworker puts them in. If not, you know, then all that is in the hands of the institution case manager if they're in a BOP institution, right? So the kind of, you know, the activities that we've been involved with have been, at first pass, the people that are already on either home confinement or CARES Act home confinement, and they're waiting for those credits to come, and they had a 22 or 23, maybe in some cases an early 24 release date to move those credits forward. If you're in an institution and you know, they haven't even put in the halfway house paperwork or whatever paperwork yet, then that's going to be in the hand of your loved one's case manager or whatever. So I think there's a line in the sand there, what, you know, that we'd say, hey, that's in the hands of the institution, versus having to get with other people. Now, I know, you know, of course, the institution, the releasing institution, is the body that has the numbers of the earned time credits. It's just sometimes getting those from the file to the correct officials to get those loaded. So,
correct, because they are the ones that know what programs the inmates are or have completed or not. Even though there are transactions in Sentry that you could pull, but actually the file speaks for itself, and the case manager, that's an inherent case manager function, to know the programming and what programs they've completed and whatnot. So, but the fact that at the step, there was some lists generated, there was some rosters generated, and people got all hyped up and were calling. Everybody was calling us and asking, "Hey, am I on the list? Am I on the pro?"
Let's clarify that. Hold on a minute. This is great because I want to use this segment probably in a separate video. So lists. So folks that were on CARES Act home confinement, many folks that were either releasing fairly soon or were already on CARES Act home confinement, a list was compiled and then given to the RRCs, but the people on that list were encouraged to put in for what? Clemency, right? Okay. Yes. So they were encouraged to put in for clemency because they were on a list. And then, you know, what makes it on the list, or what, you know, what makes you worthy to be on the list? And we can talk about that later with low risk, low pattern score, this and that, nonviolent, usually a first offender, and a drug case. Remember? A lot of those people on the list were drug cases, right, Mr. Santana?
3621Es. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Or at
least. Look, there's so much material to talk about here, Bruce, that an hour, it's not enough, man. We could talk about this for 40 hours at least and still not finish the whole subject. You know.
What I'd say categorically is that at that time that those lists were being generated, the Bureau of Prisons really hadn't, it's not where it is now in terms of awarding these earned time credits. So if these plus there was a possibility that the people that were out on CARES Act home confinement might have been sent back inside an institution. And if they were to get sent back inside of an institution because the pandemic might be over, et cetera, then the clemency would have kicked in theoretically. And I think that was the spirit of the list, right? But now that this is my opinion, kind of, I mean, you can back me, but now that the Biden administration, thank goodness, has decided to move forward with these First Step Act principles and leave these people out in home confinement status and then subsequently award them ETCs, the pressure for clemency is really not there. In other words, people aren't just getting clemency like they think they are. So it's, the other thing is we get calls all the time. Hey, I put in for clemency. I've been waiting. Do I have something coming? Look, it's not that it's dead. It's just that it's not a priority right now. That's my take on it.
Well, this is we've talked about this with our contacts, Bruce, in headquarters in Washington, D.C., with the people that are, you know, in charge of the First Step Act, the CARES Act, all those implementation of that and the execution of that. So what it is was, well, there was an opinion from DOJ, Department of Justice, to the Bureau of Prisons saying, when the national emergency is over, all those inmates that you release that are above the statutory requirement will have to be returned to prison. oh, that was hype. We got calls from everybody again from all over the country. Oh, they're going to put me back in prison. No, so hold it. So those people started putting in for compassionate releases and whatnot, and then they started putting in for clemency applications and whatnot, commutation of sentence, really. So the fact is that all goes back to legal beagles, the legal beagles. Right. So legal, again, the Department of Justice had a different interpretation of that and said, no, you have authority to keep those inmates out because the national emergency and this and whatnot. So those inmates are not going to be returning back to prison when the pandemic or the national emergency because of the COVID situation is over. No. So now the clemency, the commutations of sentences are put in the back burner again.
Right.
That there's still going to be, the president could exert his authority to grant it to exert his constitutional powers and grant clemency or commutations to inmates. But now they're saying, no, the First Step Act earned time credits came in. So that's where we're going to apply these to that. So that's where kind of a fusion of First Step Act and earned time credits mix for that purpose, right? So granted that, the application of the First Step Act earned time credits was done to those inmates that were immediate releases. That's why you go in Sentry and the locator center and find out in the locator center that they updated the comp and said release on such date, because that inmate, when the First Step Act earned time credits were applied, was an immediate release. It didn't change the inmate's good conduct time. It's an immediate release. Right. I mean, already some of them released from the institution.
But okay. Let's be really clear, ladies and gentlemen, that good conduct time or whatever, that release date is still there. Just because you got out and you're on early supervision doesn't necessarily mean your entire sentence has been fulfilled, right?
Wiped out from your record. Because if you get a computation sheet from the Bureau of Prison, the good conduct time date is still going to show whatever release date it was, statutorily, not ETC release date that that person, she or he, was released on.
Yeah, and I got a call this morning, Ms. Santana, on a case. A lady was out on this CARES Act, had some ETC forwarded to her. The RRM office found out she was putting money up and they sent it back. Yeah. You know, and this person thought that they might have been immune from being sent back for catching a 300 series shot while out in this status. Not the case, you know.
The case. I mean, it's like we tell everybody that's on home confinement or RRC or expanded RRC for that matter, because of CARES Act or whatever applies to them, FSA, ETC. Look, if there's a sign, keep off the grass, for crying out loud, keep off the doggone grass, you know, because you're going to give them an excuse to kick your butt back into prison. And sadly said, you know, just for whatever, you give them an excuse to take off your caseload because somebody's online. Trust me, somebody's online to get your monitor or to get your bed in that halfway house or to get your after that. So don't give them an excuse to send back people to prison.
Because conversely, we've helped people that were in county jails or in some sort of a limbo situation, county jail, and then bring principals, the BOP case management to them, finally, you know, get them released. Because sometimes in a county jail, you're a U.S. Marshals prisoner oftentimes, and you just don't have the access to case management staff or services or people that are knowledgeable about what's going on with your sentence. And so that's a rare thing, obviously. I hate to bring it up on the show, but it has happened in a couple situations.
Clients.
Yeah, say again?
Happened to one of our clients, yeah.
I know.
He's in La La Land because there's no incident report to investigate.
And the gentleman retained us, and what, within a week, the guy came out, right? So, but that was just, again, raising the awareness, getting people where they need to go. So, you know, we had a discussion recently, and somebody very high in the Bureau of Prisons was saying, like, hey, we're trying to build a plane while we're flying it in the air. And that's what's happening here, folks. And I know a lot of the family members and attorneys are frustrated with some things. But for goodness sakes, this stuff is happening real time. And I think the agency is doing a real good job. Well, of course, they could always do a better job. Make no mistake about it, because that's in part where we come in. But because, you know, the resources and allocation of resources and people to do certain things. But anyway, but overall, I think the agency is doing a great job trying to get these folks what they have coming by policy in a timely manner. So
there's always room for improvement. Remember, sure, the Bureau of Prison is an agency that's not used to releasing inmates like this. They're used to put them in prison, lock them up, and we'll handle them, we'll manage them. But the fact is that I give them credit under a pandemic. It's challenging enough to run prisons without a pandemic, a disease, an outbreak of inmates sick and staff, lack of staff and things like that, and lockdowns and things like that. Imagine now with this whole situation where everybody's sick and everybody's on their nerves and everybody is hyped up and stressed out. It's difficult. And so I give kudos to the director Michael Cavajar, for implementing all the things that he's done. It's really sad to see that he's been grilled by Congress. I would invite those senators 5 days for a week and see if they could run USP Beaumont.
Yeah, go to special
USP Atwater, Leavenworth, Marion, the ADX in Florence, any of those prisons. I would just invite them and pay their way. Even with my own personal money, if the government doesn't allow me to keep them for a week inside one of those institutions to see how could they handle it with a pandemic.
Yeah.
It's a disservice that they've done to Director Carvajal, because it upsets me, because that man knows institution management and has the cares for staff and inmates.
Right. But you know what? So we'll see what happens in the future with new directions and whatnot. However, we have rules, language, and things that are set in place regardless of politicization. And so, you know, the show goes on. You know what I mean? So this is going to be a real interesting time ahead. I think one of the things I want to bring up, getting back to the earned time credits and even the CARES Act. Actually, we need to spend some time on CARES Act, Ms. Santana. But so a lot of things that people are interested in is getting their loved one home early. And that happens in several ways, right? It can happen with the CARES Act. Yeah. That can happen with ETC. That can happen with Second Chance Act, or it can kind of happen organically with the RRC placement at the end of the sentence. You know, they would have got what they got coming, maybe a few more months, et cetera. So, but the thing of it is, there's only so many beds, and these, if you call them releases, if you will, are controlled by residential reentry management sectors, and only beds to handle all this traffic. So I have to tell people, hey, you try to be patient. It's like booking a hotel. There's people coming out every day from all over the place to a particular region, you know? So let's pick Mid-Atlantic region. Hey, my loved one, you know, he's a 057, 058 out of Raleigh, North Carolina. Okay, great. They're trying to get down to, let's say, RRM in Raleigh or Fayetteville. But guess what? There's people releasing all over the country that probably were from North Carolina to that halfway house, and there's only so many beds. These are government contracts, normally held by outside agencies to do this. And so that in itself is a whole other level of communication and understanding about the processes, because back in the day it was felt was our CTCs, community treatment centers, and they were bureau institutions in the community where we would wear our suits and people wear their, you know, and we could handle these cases because they were BOP entities in the street. Well, there was a lot of complaining that the BOP was taking away jobs from the private sector. So be it. So then we gave that function of the residential reentry center level to these private companies, Dismas, Volunteers of America, other types of companies. And so depending on the company and their core values and their staffing patterns and the competency of their staff, There's no uniformity, right? I mean, it's just, why is it that one guy goes to a halfway house and they do a home confinement check within 2 weeks? Another guy's got to wait 2 months. Well, that's staffing patterns, willingness, their home confinement ratios, and et cetera. But I just think that, you know, once you realize what goes in to the consulting and what goes in to expediting these cases to get them to home confinement, it's mind-boggling how many people and how many processes are involved between sitting in an institution to being on home confinement with an ankle monitor. It's just staggering. Anyway, any thoughts on that before we do a little bit of a CARES Act?
No, you're right on it. I just want to finish with the First Step Act earned time credit issue. Yeah. And then I got a couple things that I want to touch that we touched on already, acquiring earned time credits, the ETCs. So we talked about the eligible persons, which earn 10 days, that are granted 10 days for evidence-based recidivism reduction programming or productive activities. Then the persons in minimum or low risk categories over 2 conservative assessments are going to earn the additional 5 days, right?
Right.
Over a 30-day period of successful participation of those programs. So those persons who successfully participate in the programming should receive that. And the assessments should be not less often than every year, okay? Like for those guys that have a lot of time remaining to serve, every year they see their team and they conduct their risk assessments. It could be done more frequently, but for those guys that have medium pattern risk or high pattern risk, it should be done at least every year.
Well, do you know anything about UNICOR? Is that just regular time, or is there some sort of industrial good time attached to that?
It was industrial good time given. It was industrial good time given. That is for old law cases.
Old law cases.
Or D.C., District of Columbia cases.
And D.C. co-defenders. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes. So, okay, using the earned time credits, what is it for? When it's accumulated, what do you do with those earned time credits? So, when accumulated credits are equal to remainder of prison terms, it can be used for pre-release custody, like we said, for release to an RRC, residential reentry center, or halfway house, or for home confinement. Those individuals that are already in a halfway house or have a home confinement eligibility date or are in home confinement will get to supervision at their home confinement eligibility date, or if they have an immediate release to when the credits are applied, they'll release to supervision, okay? They'll continue serving a time. Remember, the good conduct time doesn't change. That good conduct time is still ticking until you finish that, and then, you know, you go into supervision, all right?
Yep.
So there are certain, it's about 68, I want to say, events that the law makes individuals ineligible for early for earned time credits.
Right.
It's statutory. I mean, that doesn't change. The law excludes them. If they fall under the 18 U.S.C., 924C, 921, 944, 841, those are excluded. Just for example, sex offenders are excluded, explosive, violence, murder, you know, fentanyl, opiates.
And real quick, folks, just because your loved one is sitting in a camp, in a minimum security camp with a 924C, does not mean that they're eligible for this other stuff. So I think a lot of people get spun out because, well, my loved one's in a camp and they have a 924C, you know, gun charge. Like, hey, still, it's a gun and a drug trafficking crime, and it is what it is. But go ahead, sir.
Yes. And that doesn't mean they qualify. They don't qualify for a halfway house.
No, they'll get
a halfway house under the Second Chance Act, or like Bruce says, organically.
Regular organic placement.
Halfway house placement. They don't qualify for First Step Act earned time credits if they fall under those statutes. We got an anomaly case here recently where individuals in a camp, sex offense, attempting enticing of a minor or something like that. It was put in for a halfway house and he's going to be released here soon. And so back in the days when I was in an institution, right. it was big, capital letters GNC.
Got nothing coming.
Got nothing coming, unfortunately. Individuals with weapons, firearms, domestic violence, so even if they were minor domestic violence, those individuals never saw a camp or a halfway house. Now it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. The Bureau is applying this much more liberal. So kudos to the Bureau if those individuals that happened 20, 25 years ago and back in the day, they weren't getting anything. Now they're getting at least halfway house, even home confinement. So it's different.
Right.
It's different. So
absolutely.
And so another big, big event is deportable, what we call deportable aliens, not U.S. citizens. Non-U.S. citizens are ineligible for earned time credits if subject to a final order of removal or deportation under any provisions of the INA, Immigration Naturalization Act, INA, okay? So if they're subject to a deportation or an order of deportation, it's nothing. Now, if the individual goes through the ICE removal or deportation process and ICE says, no, you will not be deported or you will not be removed and you will be returned to the USA, then we could talk about it. And but that doesn't mean they don't qualify for extra credits like phone credit or extra commissary or extra time in whatever, you know, writing emails or whatever.
It's phone and visitation, more phone, more visitation, possible transfer for some, commissary email, a preferred housing unit. So yeah, those are some things that can be done. But so once again, folks, if your loved one is otherwise a deportable alien, find their to call and see what we may be able to do. But if they're going to deport them, there's nothing we can do.
There's nothing. And lastly, Blues, for the FSA to close out and go to CARES Act because we're running out of time.
Yes, well, we're fine.
RDAP. RDAP is another big, big ticket item here. The First Step Act Earned Time Credits, the implementation phase, there you could double dip. And I was corrected on this by some of my colleagues, my former colleagues in central office, that we had a lot of philosophical debates. And it was good to talk to them about this thing because my understanding was they could not double dip with FSA earned time credits and 3621E. And they can. Actually, they can. So FSA credits will be applied first, or then the 3621E, or the 3021, and then...
Or FSA credit, and it knocked them out, and they were DAP incompletes, but they got out on home confinement under FSA ETC. And they just got raw credits for time programming in the meaningful program.
Yes.
Yes.
So the thing is, those individuals that are already on 3621E, they could double dip. Or if they're gonna be they're in the waiting list, they're gonna have to get the 3621E date first and see if they could complete it when they apply the earned time credits to see if because remember, the 6 months of halfway house when you complete RDAP is for the transitional component of the drug program. And if finish that with earned time credits, then you won't get, earned time credits, or you won't get the 3621. You won't be complete of the time frame. So,
it is amazing. I mean, some of these folks that are in RDAP and they go through a 9-month program and they actually finish the program maybe 15 or 20 or 25 months before their release, hey, that's where that double dip thing can really take into effect because they got plenty of time on the back end of their sentence, if you will, to take advantage of any possibilities of further credits. But I'll just say this. I think this is a case-by-case thing, Jose. I'll see what you say, but I've seen some variants here. Go ahead. What are your thoughts?
What it is
about the double dip. Yeah.
The short term, the double dipping, it's good. It's an extra credit because right now it wasn't being looked like that. At the beginning of the First Step Act, they said, no, you cannot double dip. And now it's changed with the earned time credits. So you could double dip it. And even if you want, I'd say triple dip, because this, you get when it comes to 6 months of transitional halfway house.
RRC.
RRC. If you could do that and have enough time left, it's still in your sentence, then you could get earned time credits.
Applied.
Or you could get expanded halfway house.
Yeah.
You know, even with your transitional, you let's say I had an individual at the camp and earned time credits wasn't applied because he was short. The earned time credit hadn't kicked in. He got almost a year off with expanded halfway house under the CARES Act. Right. Not to say earned time credits because they hadn't come out, but under the CARES Act, he got more time. He got almost a year off, the year off, and almost a year off, a year in expanded halfway house, pre-release custody to RRC, and subsequently to home confinement. So that's three different things right there. So, I mean,
that's interesting. CARES Act consideration. One is if they've done 50% of their time. What are some of the others?
Well, 50% of their sentence, remember, it's off the good conduct time. That PRD, right. That's concentric, okay? So that's 50% for those who have 18 months plus to serve. Those inmates that have 18 months or less to serve in their sentence, they have to serve at least 25% is required to serve in their sentence. So that's a must. So we're getting the questions constantly asking, so can the 50% be applied once I get my First Step Act earned time credits? No, because that's not your good conduct time date. And that doesn't take away from your sentence, okay? It gives you an avenue of pre-release custody to halfway house or home confinement, but to the First Step requirement or the 25% of whatever it might be of 18 months or less. So don't mix those two. Even though they have the final result being the same, but don't mix them for that purpose, because it's not going to happen like that. The Bureau's not looking at it like that, because remember, by law, statutorily, your good conduct time does not change. Okay.
Not change. Right.
So CARES Act. We continue with CARES. Remember, no incident reports, good conduct. You should have COVID risk factors, morbidity factors, prone to illness or prone to getting seriously sick or death if you catch COVID. Interestingly, one of those non-written rules of the BOP is that if you've been vaccinated, I've heard from higher sources that if you're vaccinated, you will be considered. If you're not vaccinated, you won't. You won't have.
It's changed, but now that's the way it is now. Yes, because they don't want vaccinated. The Bureau doesn't want that liability of an unvaccinated person going out to the community. And then, in fact,
that's the point. If the Bureau is having their staff mandated to have vaccines, then the inmates are going to get it.
Plus, I mean, everybody knows that you have to be medically clear to participate in community-based programming, right? And so you could dovetail that into part of your medical clearance prior to participation in a community program.
No incident reports. You shouldn't have no incident reports. Have a minimum or a low pattern risk. And they will apply now the assessment of that minimum or low, have urgency. Of course, you have to have served at least 25% of your sentence with 18 months or less, or 50% of your sentence with over 18 months.
This is the reason why the preponderance of people in mediums and penitentiaries don't apply. We get a lot of calls from people in mediums. Hey, what about this? What about that? But their pattern risk or whatever, there's something about their prior conduct. They're not good candidates for this. Go ahead.
There's different risk factors there. You know, Bruce, the same thing is that in integrated into the analysis, if a person is considered, if she or he are considered for CARES Act, is the risk factor to the safety of the public, the community. You know, the Bureau is a steward of the public safety. So if the guy or the gal or ex-gang members got gang ties, have violence in their background, firearms, sex offenses, things like that, they're not going to qualify and they're not going to be considered. I have an inmate, a client of ours, a 75-year-old man. It's in the medical centers. And for crying out loud, that if I was the warden at that institution, I would assign the paperwork, send them to
I know.
And send them to home confinement or the RRC at least, This poor old man, it still has a 2028 release date. He's been in prison since 2017 for the past almost 5 years. And not that I'm an inmate lover or anything like that, but I'm not that. But what's fair is fair. If they have it, they should get it. This older man, this old gentleman, it's the end of his life. He's a super senior citizen and should be relieved. That's my point. The Bureau still to him the 50% rule, which is
right. But
fortunate.
We advocated for Mr. W in the North Central, and he finally made it out. So there's another guy in a very similar situation with age and those things, and he finally made it out. So every case is different. So that's why as consultants, man, we go in there, look at the case, the merits of the case. Another thing is back to the mediums and other stuff is the Bureau of Prisons will look at your conduct. So if you were, if you had a domestic violence charge 8 years ago that was dropped and you beat the pookie out of your partner, guess what? That conduct still happened and the Bureau looks at the conduct and not so much the disposition of the case. Is that correct?
It is.
All right.
And that's what happens. You know,
people forget about that. Yeah. Oh, well, they dropped it. So it doesn't count. No, it doesn't. It's in the PSR. It counts.
So a lesser charge. The charge, the most aggravating charge was reduced because of plea of whatever technicality. They look at the most severe conduct that happened. Yeah,
exactly. Well, we're at a minute. So, woo, Mr. Santana, thanks for coming on the show today. Man, that went by so fast. We probably have to come on here in a couple of weeks and finish up. Folks, well, we're going to put this on our Facebook page, and hopefully for you to look at. You can log in some questions underneath the comments, and then maybe Mr. Santana and I will have a subsequent show answering your questions and comments. I tried to weave in a lot of those today as part of our program. So, Jose, thanks again for coming on the show, man. I mean, you were just, just a professional and just proud to be working with you. And as a matter of fact, I mean, I think that between yourself and myself, we know a lot about this, as much as many staff members. So I'm really proud of what we're accomplishing and what we're doing for our clients to get the correct application of these procedures. So
now that you mentioned that, it's always an honor and humbling when you get people that are still in the Bureau asking you questions.
They call us for guidance.
They call us for, how do you guys look at this thing? How do you, what's the effect on this? What are the people?
Exactly. Classification.
It's always an honor.
Yeah. In terms of with what we do, Clegg, we'll have another show on that. We got to roll out. So folks, again, thanks for listening to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Come by and see us, see this show on Apple Podcast and iHeartRadio. And of course, we're archived on the LA Talk Radio website. Come by our Facebook page and our Instagram at concierge_coaches. Wow, we're just everywhere. So again, have a great week, safe week, and we'll see everybody here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Bye, everybody.
Take care, Bruce. See you, man.
Yep, see you.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.